And think about it, one of the biggest mistakes a fighter can make is to underestimate their opponent. Paul's preparing Timothy for reality so he won't be ambushed. How many professed Christians say they see the good parts of Jesus Christ? Oh, I'll take that. And then they walk out into the world and they get sucker punched, and all of a sudden they're like, I didn't sign up for this. And they're gone.
Welcome back, Living the Light listeners. Taking time out of your day to join us. We're so thankful over here at Living the Light. We're all about opening up God's Word together and seeing our lives radically transformed by the truths that we read. So thank you for joining us here today. And we're diving into 2 Timothy chapter 3 specifically. And Pastor Robbie, who happens to be our teacher here at Living the Light, is with me. And Robbie, the title of today's message as we open up chapter 3 is Difficult Days Ahead. And I gotta be honest with you, after this past year, considered even just from a big perspective, let alone my own life, I am believing that statement more and more and more.
Yeah, we're trying to be encouraging here at Living the Light, eh? So let's have a sermon titled Difficult Days are Ahead.
Yeah. We're trying to be encouraging and yet real.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the statements, Craig, we've been familiar with over many years is align your expectations with what the Bible actually teaches. And I think that's so important for Christian growth and maturity. That's so important so that when things happen that aren't easy, we're not super caught off guard, because what did Jesus say? He says the way is narrow and hard that leads to life. And what the Apostle Paul is doing here to young Timothy, he's doing the same thing. He's like, hey, but understand this, in the last days, there'll be times of great difficulty. And so we're just trying to be faithful to what God has put in front of us. And Craig, let me just like ask you, you kind of mentioned that, like the last year and, you know, everything's relative, but our expectations and in life in Christ, and I mean, do you anticipate things are going to continually become more difficult, you know, as we kind of anticipate the return of Christ? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't think we can say for sure, but it does seem like, you know, here's this book we've got in front of us, 2 Timothy. This is written by a man who's under Nero and about to die. And this is his last letter that he wrote. So he understood the difficult days. Jesus understood difficult days. I was thinking as you were talking about John 6 when he said, in this world you will have trouble. Or even Peter, who would say, don't be surprised by the trial when it comes upon you, as though something unusual were happening to you. I think here in the West, we often view the culture around us as this is how persecution is because I can't get a parking spot at Costco or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think we can only expect that the message of Christ, if we're actually holding to the truth of Christ, it should always be an offense. So yeah, maybe to answer your question, I think it probably will get more and more intense, even through our own lifetimes, certainly for our kids.
Well said, man. And that doesn't like fire us up in the sense of like, yeah, but at the same time, it does fire us up that we are in line with clarity to what God has told us, so we're prepared. One of my biggest fears, Craig, for the church right now is we're just not prepared. Like, we're just this westernized form of Christianity and this consumeristic approach. It's not going to have us in spiritual strength to withstand the storms that are upon us and that are coming. So again, this is why we keep opening up the Word, all those listening here at Living the Light, because we have to hear from God. So longer intro today, but we pray it's helpful to you. We pray this message today that is sobering and it's a reality check, but the Holy Spirit will use it in your life. May it be so.
All right, well, let's jump right into God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. And again, the title of today's message is Difficult Days Are Ahead.
You can open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm so thankful for God's Word. Where would we be without the truth of God's Word? I'm also so thankful that the Lord loves us enough, listen, to tell us the truth. The Lord loves you and me enough to tell us the truth when it's perceived as wonderful truth Or maybe as difficult truth, he loves us enough to tell us the truth. Our God does not sugarcoat the truth. He doesn't downplay or hide the truth. He knows that in order for his children, his church, listen, this is so key today, in order for his children and church to be prepared, they must be informed with truth. And with this truth comes knowledge, you see. And with knowledge, then, we can apply that knowledge rightly. That's called wisdom. Why do you think some of the greatest military attacks come in the form of an ambush? Because the opponent seeks to catch their enemy off guard in oblivion, and then they rout them because they're not prepared, they're not ready, they don't have the clear thinking of what's happening. But in our text today, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit through Paul, listen, preparing Timothy for the reality of difficulty in the days to come. And that's why our sermon title then is also our thesis and what timing this text is again for us. Our sermon title is this, Difficult Days Are Ahead. Difficult days are ahead. This is the inevitable reality of the Christian. And church, listen, what I just said should not catch you off guard if you have any semblance of a comprehension of Scripture. This should not be a surprise. Even as our world tries to drug us on a daily basis, this should not catch us off guard. Personally, I'm so thankful for passages like this because it sends believers into training and discipline. Remember, the theme of this entire series is to fight the good fight. And think about it. One of the biggest mistakes a fighter can make is to underestimate their opponent. The fighter that is flabby, the fighter that is ill-prepared, lacks proper conditioning, not prepared in strategy, a fighter that walks into the ring and those conditions or situations, they will soon be knocked out on their back unconscious. They're not ready to fight. They're not in shape. They haven't prepared. They haven't thought about a strategy. Let me be crystal clear. In our day today, let me be crystal clear. Everyone watching at home right now, let me be crystal clear. This is not a time for flabby Christians. This is not a time for ill-prepared, falling asleep people who call themselves disciples of Jesus Christ. This is not a time to be drowsy with the things of the world. This is not a time to be ill-prepared. And I'm telling you again, the Holy Spirit has us here right now in this text, in this letter, in his word to prepare us and to get us in increasingly better shape by the Holy Spirit and the strength and grace of God. So with Bibles open, I pray here and at home with openness and eagerness and urgency, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. The only command in our verses here, avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins, and they're led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. Verse 9, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. We begin here today in this sermon centered on difficult days ahead. Number one is this, reality check, church. Reality check, just that. Difficult days are ahead. Little reality check for us right now. verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. I want to start with the first word in verse 1. Look at the first word. It's the first word is but. This is the transition pointing back from chapter 2, verses 25 to 26. Look at that, 25. Correcting his opponents with gentleness, God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Notice that they may come to their senses, escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. So notice in chapter 2 at the very end here, notice the beauty of God granting repentance. And by the way, join with me in praying that God would grant the gift of repentance to hundreds and thousands in our day. Beg God to do that. Church, we need more people to be raised up as intercessors at this church in this time. We need the Holy Spirit to call men, women, and children to a greater sense of urgency in prayer. That God may grant repentance as a gift. Because notice what happens when people are truly given the gift of repentance to see Christ as Savior and Lord. Notice they have a knowledge of the truth. They come to their senses. They escape the snare of the devil who has captured them to do his will. They are freed from that. This is the power of turning to Christ in repentance. That's why lives are never the same again. Just like the baptism testimony we heard today, so awesome. Repentance leads people an entirely new path in Jesus Christ. And then we come to chapter 3, verse 1, though, and Paul says to Timothy, he says, but understand this, young Timothy. As much as we desire to see God grant repentance and to see lives change, he says, but understand this. The reality, Timothy, is along with that prayer, difficult days will come in the last days. Notice that a huge part of pastoring Timothy, listen, church, a huge part of Paul pastoring Timothy from prison is to prepare Timothy for reality. See, Paul's not trying to sugarcoat it either. Paul's preparing Timothy for reality so he won't be ambushed. How many professed Christians say they see the good parts of Jesus Christ, oh, I'll take that, and then they walk out into the world and they get hammered and they get sucker punched and all of a sudden they're like, I didn't sign up for this, and they're gone. Ambushed, not ready, ill-prepared. Paul knows that Timothy will not make it if he's ill-prepared. His expectations must align with reality. Why do you think Paul goes out of his way to prepare Timothy for suffering? In this letter alone, how many times? In fact, in the context of our text today, we'll flow next week, Lord willing, into chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Take a look there. 12 to 14, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. No sugarcoating there, church. All who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So the last thing you could accuse Paul of right now is bait and switch. It's the last thing you could accuse him of. He puts it all on the table for Timothy. Listen. He puts it all on the table for us. In the last days will come times of difficulty. To follow Christ is the narrow and hard road. That's why gospels, false gospels like the prosperity gospels are so fraudulent. They're a mockery to the Bible and the gospel. They present a total false teaching that can nowhere be found based on scripture. This is what's based on scripture, what we have today. And church, this is why we must have a reality check, because it brings clarity, which brings wisdom, which brings urgency. I mean, even as I wrote this part of this sermon this week, I mean, at my desk and in my study, like literally my physical heart began to beat fast. Like literally as my spiritual heart began to beat fast as well, physically, literally, and spiritually, the urgency of the Holy Spirit, again, upon my life and heart to see how important this is upon the church today. And I'm sorry, but at some point for the church, at some point, COVID must take a back seat to the kingdom. At some point, some of you might say it already has taken a back seat. Good. Then we need more people to understand the reality and the urgency of that which we face. But also listen, for some, this is maybe even more important. For some, our comfort can no longer have a greater priority than the kingdom. The idol of comfort in our day is leading so many believers astray. Just take your heart right now. We are so used to ease and comfort and a life we get whatever we want. The Western world has no clue. And we worship comfort so much, so often, more than we worship Christ. Because at the end of the day, we want comfort more than Christ. That has to change to be the true church. You deal with your own heart right now. You deal with how penetrating, convicting that is. You decide how much comfort means to you. And so many of the things that are happening, the season that we're in, is really about the comfort of the individual over the whole. Verse 1, in the last days, there'll be times of difficulty. Last days. What's the last days? That term in Scripture is broad enough to refer to the birth of the church at Pentecost, but it's very appropriate to see this as the season immediately before the return of Christ. Both are valid. The word difficulty there in verse 1 is also translated perilous. The only other time that word is used in the New Testament is found in Matthew chapter 8, describing the two demon-possessed men that were so fierce that no one could pass. You put those together and it indicates this. You take 2 Timothy 3:1 with Matthew 8, indicates this, the increasing violence of demonic activity as the end draws near, as the return of Christ gets close. Again, loved ones, reality check. The increasing demonic violence that will be seen upon us as the return of Christ gets near. Again, church, we have to be people who pray. Like, the awareness of the reality of spiritual warfare that surrounds us on a daily basis. You cannot fall asleep during this time. Like, now is the time to pray and to seek and to love and to live for Christ. God, help us by your Spirit that you might be raising up individuals with a burden to do that. Of the Holy Spirit. Church, I want you to know, all watching right now, and I pray there's conviction all over the place. I do, just like it is for me. It's big time right now for me. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I am trying to be a realist. You're reading the same passage I am. What would you do with it? It's just right here in front of us. Again, Paul desperately wants Timothy to be prepared. Look at what Paul said in his first letter to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says, look at that, that in later times, some will depart from the faith. The Spirit expressly says, some will depart from the faith. Why? By devoting themselves, by loving, by worship, listen, deceitful spirits, teachings of demons. You don't think there's spiritual warfare around us? I mean, that's what Satan exactly wants us to think. No, there's no spiritual warfare. It's just kind of people moving around doing stuff. The teaching of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences have been seared. Wow. Just look at that for a second. Be prepared, Timothy. Be prepared, man. You can't be a flabby Christian. Reality check, man. The difficult days are upon us and difficult days will come. Pastoral transparency for you right now, I want to confess to you that in my flesh, I want the easy life. My flesh wants comfort. I want ease as well. My flesh wants that, but the Holy Spirit within me The Holy Spirit within me won't let me get away with it. He won't. And he keeps saying to me, Robbie, the last time I checked, Jesus never called us to easy, but he called us to glory. And I have no argument back based on an open Bible and an open heart. Just a desire to submit and to see the power of God among us in a day that is so desperately needed. Again, what did Jesus say in Matthew? You cannot say he didn't tell us. In Matthew chapter 7, wide and easy is the road to destruction. Everyone's taking that. Narrow and hard is the way to eternal life. So many live like they've never heard that verse before. God help us. God help me. I'll just start with me. God help me. Help me. Reality check, point number two. Authenticity check, avoid the counterfeits. Avoid the counterfeits. In verses 2 and 5, notice, for people will be lovers of self, and then this list of 18 characteristics of wicked sin. 18. Notice the first two words in verse 2. For people. Hey, Timothy, in the last days will come times of difficulty. Why? For people. Not situational circumstance. For people. People are the reason for the difficult days. The difficult days is a people problem. The difficulty is caused by sin in people, by corrupt hearts, by the wickedness of the overflow of the evil within every human heart. Sin is described here over and over again. Notice, trees and weather and animals, they can't sin. Humans can, and humans do. So what you have here, you have the explanation of the difficulty and the corruption that is found and revealed in idolatrous human love of sin and a lack of true character. And what follows here in these verses here, what follows seems to describe the increasing intensity of sin and evil to be expected as the day of Christ draws near. That's what we take from these verses right here. I want you to see where this is ending. I want you to look at verse 5. It says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Notice this, the appearance of godliness. Like, so you have the list of sins, 18 wicked, evil sins, and yet even after that, the end says they have the appearance of godliness. That's how deceitful sin is. But denying its power. There's a facade of virtue. There's a pretense of righteousness. But in the end, it's shallow, it's empty. There's a shadow that is seen, but there's no substance to it. There's a form, it looks like, but there's no actual flesh attached to it. There's no substance, no power, no reality. It's counterfeit godliness, and these people must be avoided, the Bible says. You think even in our day, people still stand up and claim to be a person of faith. You hear that all the time. People stand up and claim to be religious in nature, or they're just inventing their own religion of righteousness themselves. What they say leads in that direction. But notice what the Bible's telling us right here. They have an appearance of godliness, but in the end, their lives have no power. There's no reality of God there. There's no fruit of the Holy Spirit. So many corporations in our day are signaling virtue all over the place, but there's nothing to it. There's no power to actually transform hearts. So many people have on sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves, demons imitating believers, Satan masquerading as light, as Corinthians says. So because this is such a danger for the church, Paul lists evidence for those who are false. Again, 18 characteristics of corrupt character. What I want you to notice here, the bookends of this list. Notice how the list starts in verse 2. Notice how the list ends there in verse 4, okay? Notice, it's a bookend of love. Isn't that so interesting? But notice, what kind of love? Love of self. The love of self is the very essence of sin. The text says, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, not loving good, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The appearance of godliness, but denying its power. The love of self, the essence of sin. No wonder then the two greatest commandments in Scripture, love God, not self. Love your neighbor. And some people try to turn that and say, oh, you got to love yourself or something. No. The love of neighbor is the sacrifice of self, because the love of God, it's the denial of self and the love of others. All of life comes down to love. Do we love ourselves or do we love God? This is the battle of the human heart. Church, make sure you see this. William Barclay, he said this, the love of self is the basic sin from which all others flow. I'll say that again. The love of self is the basic sin from which all others flow. You want to show me a ruined marriage? I'll show you a love of self somewhere. Barclay continues this very important thought. He says this, the moment a man makes his own will the center of life, divine and human relationships are destroyed. Sit on that, think about it, digest that. The reason for difficulty, the love of self. Obedience to God and charity to men both become impossible when a person decides that the reason for their life centers on self-will and self-love. The essence of Christianity is not the enthronement, but the obliteration of self. And the Holy Spirit just said, amen. Look at that, loved ones, look. The greatest disease in our lives on a daily basis is a love for self and a self-will focus of what we think, we want, we need, we desire, we must have, we, us, me, I. In the last days, there'll be times of difficulty for people will be lovers of self. And a society that's built on the love of self is a society that is absolutely destined to be destroyed. After all, in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan shows up, Satan's whole demise was Satan's self-love. Think about it. The reason Satan took on his own position was his self-love. He wanted to be God. And then in his own self-love and wanting to destroy and hate God, he then tempts Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve and their self-love, they commit the first sin, and the whole world falls apart after that. I encourage you in 2 Timothy chapter 3 to sit on this list with stillness and patience. And maybe just as a starting point to allow the Holy Spirit just to reveal to you and I any areas that we need to quickly repent of and run away from as fast as we can, that we might may not quench and grieve the Holy Spirit. You look at this list in detail here. There's so much here in God's word. It's just amazing, but just look at it with me. Look at verse 2. Let me just maybe read it slowly. Maybe the Holy Spirit can just work and he can just allow us to be broken before him in different ways and even just a desire for holiness and love. But notice in the last days, people will be lovers of self. Self-interest, self-ease, self-indulgence, self-promotion, self-comfort. They'll be lovers of money. Lovers of money, one of the greatest corruptors of the human heart, which has led billions to deception and death, the love of money. They will be proud, arrogant. Oh, how pride destroys. This is the disease of the human heart that kills the power of God. They will be abusive.
You're listening to Live in the Light with Robbie Simons. Need some extra encouragement? Well, we have our previous messages and series available for you to listen online at liveinthelight.ca. Thanks for listening today, loved ones. We hope you join us again next time.